Hi, this is Bethany, and I want to thank you for joining me for Rooftops today. My prayer is that this podcast would encourage you and it would challenge you to activate your faith as you hear God speak to you. So the title for today is Fight Right. But before I go there, I have a super random thing just to share with you. Maybe you have or share my love with Infinity 4 Q-tips. I know that sounds weird, but I was having a conversation with a friend recently, and we were talking about all of the uses for Q-tips and how we love Q-tips and just how handy they are. I know obviously they're for your ears, but you can use them for makeup, you can use them for cleaning, all sorts of crazy things. Like I've even used them to clean out the little crevices in my car. And so we're just saying all these things about Q-tips and how we find all these uses for Q-tips. But if I use a Q-tip where I need a drill bit, that's not going to work well. Or maybe I need to cut down a tree and I have a hammer instead of a saw. That's not going to work well either. Or if you need to clean your floor and instead of having a mop, you try to use a rake, that's not going to end well. And I know that that sounds really just kind of silly, but we use tools in life that I believe that are ineffective and sometimes just don't get the job done. And so that's what I want to talk about today. And sometimes the tools that we use are wrong, or we're just using them wrongly, where they can just wear us down, right? Because they weren't made for the job. And we use tools, obviously, to build things and to fix things. And maybe there's some things in your life today that need built. Maybe you're building your family or your marriage or your career, your life, whatever it is. Or maybe you find yourself in a place of brokenness where you know there are some areas in your life that are broken, and so you want to rebuild those things. And sometimes if we're not using the right tools, we can get so frustrated because we just don't see the progress that we were hoping to see. Or maybe if you haven't, you will, but if you haven't faced a battle, or maybe you're going through something now and facing a battle right now, and you've been fighting, you've been trying to overcome, you're fighting to see change, but you feel like what you're doing is ineffective and that it's not helping. And you feel like maybe you're just losing the battle, or you're just not getting anywhere. It's like an awful feeling to just feel like you're stuck, you know, and to be trying so hard. Well, there's good news. And the good news is that God wants you to win. In Christ, we're already on the winning side. We're already on the winning team. And God says you're an overcomer, that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, and that you've been empowered. You're not just out there in life. God didn't leave you on your own to try to just figure it out and come up with your own tools, or your own weapons, so to speak, to fight the battles. So listen to what Jesus says in Luke 10, verse 19. Listen carefully, he says, I have given you authority that you now possess, emphasis on now, not just tomorrow, to tread on serpents and scorpions, and the ability to exercise authority over all the power of the enemy, to Satan, and nothing will in any way harm you. But here's the thing. We've got to do it God's way if we're going to win the battle. We can definitely win the battle. We can definitely build, but we're going to need to do it God's way and not our own way, right? Which means we have to identify and be willing to lay down any unuseful tools, any ineffective tools or weapons that we might be using currently, and instead learn what his weapons are and then apply those, like put them to work, use them. Because remember, God does want us to win. He wants us to be effective, and he's actually even given us a strategy, if you will. He's given us effective tools, effective weapons to use. And so I briefly, before we go on, I want to just talk about what those weapons are, and you might already be familiar with them, but all seven of the weapons that I'm just going to briefly hit on are found in Ephesians 6. Chapter 6, and starting in verse 13, says, therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. then after the battle, you will be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you'll be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. So the first weapon we can see that God has given us is the belt of truth. And a lot of us know the verse, we shall know the truth and the truth shall make us free. And that's true, of course, because how could we ever win a battle if we have shackles on? That would be pretty difficult to do. And the truth, it eliminates darkness and it exposes lies, because it would be really hard to win a battle when you're in the dark and you can't even see what you're up against. You can't even see what might be standing right in front of you and causing defeat in your life. Truth, by its very nature, is exclusive, which means anything outside of truth is lies. They're lies. So to keep from being defeated, we're going to need to reject even half truths. Even just the little lies aren't truth. It can't be God's truth plus something else, right? It's just God's truth plus nothing. It can't be our culture or even us wanting to add things to that. We just have to settle in truth. And number two, it talks about the breastplate of righteousness. And when we put our faith in Christ, we're made right in his sight, right? He's forgiven us of our sins, because before our sin separated us from God. But now, think about it. We stand with God. We're in God. God's in us. And so the devil can't defeat us. That's why that he's your X factor, so to speak. So don't let the enemy get under your breastplate and tell you that you're not good enough. And number three is the gospel of peace, the shoes of peace, which is the good news that we are at peace with God, that again, we're in right standing with him. He's forgiven us. He's made us one with him, and he's given us access to be with him, to know him forever, which is awesome. And I was thinking about the shoes of peace and how soldiers wear boots, right? They have not just any footwear, but they have specific footwear that will help steady them and keep them secure on rough terrain, any kind of terrain, slippery terrain. And for us, I think about this and how worry tries to creep in various circumstances that we face or situations that we go through or we find ourselves in hard times, but we can't let the devil steal our peace. These are all weapons that we need. Number four is the shield of faith. It's by faith that God brings all of his promises to fruition in our life. So it's no wonder that the devil is trying so hard to quench our faith, that he is launching fiery arrows or darts at our faith. And Satan primarily tries to attack our faith by sowing seeds of doubt, even just one seed of doubt. Seeds grow. And so without the shield of faith up, we're left totally vulnerable to his attacks. Number five is the helmet of salvation. Salvation comes to us when we put our faith in Christ. But just so that we know, there's also a work that needs to be done on our part, that we've got to partner with him, partner with what he's done. In Philippians 2, 12 and 13, it says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. So the helmet of salvation, it protects our heads. And you've probably heard this before, but much of the battlefield is in our minds, right? So the devil is just actively, like daily, trying to build up and erect strongholds in us, in our minds, where it just ties us up. So we must allow God's truth to penetrate every thought that we have, every perspective that we have. And then number six is the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. This is so cool to me because it's the weapon of offense, not just defense, but it's the weapon that really pushes back the enemy, that puts him in his place, because there's authority, there's power in God's word. And so you don't need to argue with the devil. You don't need to waste your time doing that. Just put him in his place with the word of God. And knowing the word of God alone isn't enough, but we've got to obey it. We need to do it if we want to see it activated in our lives. So we know that God's word works when we work it. Amen. And then number seven, lastly, is prayer. And prayer, I just think about being the blueprints, literally, before God does anything on this earth. They're the blueprints, our prayers are, of bringing His plans to fruition in our lives and in those around us, in our world around us. And, you know, I just was thinking about this for myself, and who led me to the Lord. And so consider that God used someone to pray you into the kingdom. He used somebody to pray for your soul. And we can never forget that, you know, how powerful prayer is, that prayer reaches people. And prayer enables just ordinary people like me, like you, to see extraordinary outcomes and results. And I've thought about this often, like, man, if we really grasp the power that is available in prayer, I don't think we would ever stop praying. So these weapons, this is how we're supposed to fight right, because God's weapons are powerful and they are effective. They get the job done. So let's talk about someone who didn't fight right and what that looks like. And this is about King Saul, and it's in 1 Samuel 15. I'm going to read a good passage here, so bear with me. Starting in verse 10, "Then the Lord said to Samuel, 'I am sorry that I ever made Saul king, for he has not been loyal to me and has refused to obey my command.' Samuel was so deeply moved when he heard this that he cried out to the Lord all night. And early the next morning, Samuel went to find Saul. And someone told him, 'Saul went to the town of Carmel to set up a monument to himself. Then he went on to Gilgal.' And when Samuel finally found him, Saul greeted him cheerfully. 'May the Lord bless you,' he said. 'I have carried out all the Lord's command.' 'Then what is all the bleating of sheep and goats and the lowing of cattle that I hear?' Samuel demanded. 'Well, it's true that the army spared the best of the sheep, goats, and cattle,' Saul admitted. 'But they are going to sacrifice them to the Lord your God. We have destroyed everything else.' And then Samuel said to Saul, 'Stop. Listen to what the Lord told me last night.' 'What did he tell you?' Saul asked. And Samuel told him, 'Although you may think little of yourself, are you not the leader of the tribes of Israel? The Lord has anointed you king of Israel. And the Lord sent you on a mission and told you, go and completely destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, until they are all dead. Why haven't you obeyed the Lord? Why did you rush for the plunder and do what was evil in the Lord's sight?' 'But I did obey the Lord,' Saul insisted. 'I carried out the mission he gave me. I brought back King Agag, but I destroyed everyone else. Then my troops brought in the best of the sheep, goats, cattle, and plunder to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal.' But Samuel replied, 'What is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifices, or your obedience to his voice? Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice, and submission is better than offering the fat of rams. Rebellion is as sinful as witchcraft, and stubbornness as bad as worshiping idols. So because you have rejected the command of the Lord, he has rejected you as king.'" So this is like devastating, right? If you were Saul, and Saul no doubt was super frustrated at this outcome, but it was only him to blame. He could only blame himself for it, because God had set him up to win. It was God's plan for Saul to win. And that's God's plan for us, is that we would win. And God gave Saul strategy just like he gives us. But Saul didn't do what God had asked him to do. And note this, because this is a big deal. He didn't do it the way that God had asked him to do it, right? Like, not just doing what we think is going to please God, but God, what does your word say? What really pleases you? What really blesses you, Father? Because that's where I want to be in position. That's where I want to do what you're doing. So we see that Saul fought his own way, and what he thought would be a sure win, a sure victory, ended up to be a huge defeat for him and his army. And it ended with terrible consequences. So like Saul, sometimes, truth is, we don't fight right. And it's not that the battle is even beating us. The struggle isn't defeating us either. But doing things our own way, using our own weapons and fighting our own way, that's what's actually beating us and taking us down. And that's the reason we don't see change, or we don't experience victory. So how about you? Are there any areas that you can identify? Maybe you're fighting your battles your own way, or just relying on your own strategy, using your own weapons. For me, I've had to learn, especially for me, that my mouth is not going to win the battle. I've used my words as tools and weapons that only caused harm, that inflicted damage, and I was foolish enough to think that I could change people or that I could persuade circumstances and outcomes, and this doesn't work. And I realized, like, this is just a form of control or manipulation, and I never got accomplished what I was aiming for. I never won those battles. It's only in Christ and doing it His way, fighting His way, that we experience and can taste of the victory that He promises. So remember today that God has empowered you. He's given you His power and His authority. He wants you to win. He hasn't left you weak. He hasn't left you powerless. You're not fighting alone. We just need to fight right. So lastly, I just want to encourage you to lay down, maybe first identify any useless tools you may be using, to lay those down and instead pick up the tools, the weapons that God has given you, and watch Him turn your battles into victory. So again, I just want to thank you for joining me for Rooftops. I hope it blessed you today. Thanks again.